opening the testimony meeting led by Brother Tim Thomason with hymn number 340, and we'll sing the first two verses first for opening, the last two for closing, but verses 1 and 2 only, and then Brother Scott Simon of the Los Angeles class will open with a word of prayer.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to gather in convention and to share the fellowship of the brethren and to also get blessings from studying your word. We now ask your blessing on this testimony meeting, that the sharing of our experiences with each other will be of mutual benefit for all. We pray that your kingdom will soon come, and we ask that you be with your children throughout the world. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Scott. Brethren, we're going to have a roving microphone. Steve Kleppen will be handling that. Our meeting is 45 minutes long, and again, it's the only testimony meeting of our convention. We're looking forward to it being led by Brother Tim Thomason and Brother Tim.
Thank you, Brother Bob. It's nice to be here. I want to just reread the manna text for November 30. The text and comment was shared this morning, but the text is from Matthew 28:20. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Yesterday, Brother Dan Wessel brought greetings from the Albuquerque Brethren. We have a larger outreach group that joins our class by telephone than the five or six of us that are physically present, but they all send their love and greetings. And we do have our convention program on the table for Easter weekend of 2014. It's April 18 to 20. And I have more programs in my computer bag, so help yourself if you have not received the program yet. Some of you have asked about our 12-year-old Hunter, of whom Sandy and I are legal guardian. As many of you have noticed, he's not here. We had to make a decision this trip whether to keep him out of school on Monday, since we'll not be arriving home until Monday night. And that, coupled with the fact that he hasn't spent a Thanksgiving with his grandmother and father in several years, choice was made to keep him home, and compounded by seventh grade science projects and other school activities, well, not activities, but assignments. So he would like to be here, and I will tell him that many have asked about him. We're planning to leave in 3 weeks for a trip to Florida to be with the Wessel family at Christmas, so he'll be with us then. And one of the things we look forward to is joining the Orlando Brethren at New Year's Eve. They have a very nice watch night service, so he'll be with us for that. So our time is short. My watch says 3:20, so I don't want to take any more time. But it is a testimony meeting. We've heard several discourses so far, so this is not the time for discourses, but a short, brief sharing with the brethren. Somebody once said it's a time to let your hair down and pour your heart out to the Lord and the brethren. You know, current experiences, something you want to share. So who would be first? If you would, give your name and the ecclesia that you attend.
Hi, my name is Vicki Allison, and we have an ecclesia kind of all over the Western United States.
My husband's two aunts, brother, cousins. they're all in Oregon, California, and we're in Arizona, so that's what we do. I just wanted to say that it was quite a blessing to be here. The Lord let us actually attend this year. It's hard because I drive trucks, so it's hard to get time off to meet, go to any convention. It's great to see the old friends and meet new ones. Thank you. And I just wanted to give a scripture in Philippians 4:4 that says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice.
Thank you. And did you say who you are? Okay, Sister Vicki. And it's nice to know that going home there will be one less truck on the highway. But also, Sister Vicki mentioned her family, and part of that family happens to join our Sunday morning meetings by telephone from Oregon and Colorado, and they're a real blessing to us. So who's next? Brother David in front.
Brother Tim and dear brethren, I'm Brother Dave Christensen from the Seattle Bible Students. Many of you, or some of you, have asked about brethren in the Philippines after the storm, so I thought I would just, you know, clue the others in. You all know there was a huge storm there. I guess it was deemed the largest storm ever since they started keeping track of storms. And the brethren are fine. There was no fatalities, no injuries as far as we know. Only one sister is unaccounted for at this point. She had been visiting her son, and they were going to go try to find her, last we heard. And I'm you know, just confident that she's going to be okay. The island of Leyte was hit the hardest, and 200-mile-an-hour winds was gusts up to 235 miles an hour. It flattened some of the cities there, like Tacloban. There's no brethren there. But there's two classes, one in the north end, one down in the south end. And it took about a week to get any communication to anybody there, and Inupakan was even later, which is the southern end. And basically the brethren there, all the homes, their homes were damaged badly. Most of them, they said, were just totally destroyed. So the rebuilding efforts have started. They're now able to kind of get over there. They weren't for a while. And the only actual casualty that's related to the brethren is Sister Elmar Sostinto in Dipalog City on the island of Mindanao. That's down in the south. Her brother was hit by lightning the first day of the storm and died. And he didn't meet with the brethren or anything, but it was still hard for her. But she has been coordinating all the efforts. She's able to get around, and she got up to Buena Vista up in the north end of Leyte first and saw the damage, and she said it just broke her heart. And but she's now coordinating pricing stuff on another island to truck over there so they can start rebuilding. And in Inupakan, there's not as many brethren, but their homes were destroyed as well. And so the same thing, it's a little tougher down there. But by the Lord's grace, they're all fine. And this, one of the things that hampered it is when this storm was done, it wasn't long and another typhoon went through. It was not as much, but it slowed all the rescue efforts down. And this came off the sort of off the heels of not too long before they had that big earthquake over there. We were talking to Sister Glory Beth in Cebu one evening after that, and she said we've had over 100 aftershocks, some of which registered up as high as 4 and 5 on the Richter scale. And she's totally blind, lives up on a third floor in this old, it's an apartment building. And so it made her a little bit nervous, but she said, by the Lord's grace, she said, I'm fine. And she's quite the consecrated sister. She's, if you could ever be with her, she would uplift you, I guarantee it. So that's kind of the report. We've heard nothing new since then. I'm sure they've started to get, you know, they've started to work on things. So I won't get into too many more details, but that's kind of what's going on over there. So.
Thank you, Brother David. And if anyone wants more information about Philippines, Brother David is the person to talk to. How many trips have you made?
Six.
In the last 6 years?
Yeah.
Okay.
Coming up in about 5 weeks.
Okay. So if you have any questions about the Philippines, please see Brother David. You know, a while back I read somewhere about, you know, if you're disappointed because you don't get the things you pray for, be thankful that you don't get the things you don't want. And when I saw that storm on the news recently, it sort of dwarfed any experiences that we've had. The Friday after General Convention ended this year, we were on our way home, and early Saturday morning got a telephone call from our neighbor, and he just wanted to let us know that we had a 90-mile-an-hour windstorm and had a big tree in our backyard blown over. And he had a key to our house. He went inside and did an inspection, and it caused significant damage, including ruining the roof. We had to get a new roof, and it took the power out, and just a lot of things. So, you know, you're on a high at General Convention, and pretty quick you're back down in the valley dealing with the things that have to be dealt with when you don't have power, and holes in your roof and other things. So, but then when I see that story, we have nothing to complain about. Okay, thank you very much. Who will be next? Brother David.
Brother Tim and brethren, I'm delighted to see all of you here. Thank you for coming, and I'm enjoying the convention and the fellowship. Met some new people that I hadn't known before, and of course renewed many old friendships. Brethren know that my father, Brother Gilbert, gone now for some years, left a lot of activity overseas, and as a consequence of that, there is now a brother in Poland who is from Kenya. His name is Brother Ochola. He's been in the truth for a good number of years, studied it quite deeply. The last time I visited Kenya, I saw him with a booklet on the Trinity marked up in every single page. The Doctrine of Christ, and he just loved it. He moved to Poland later on his own, and I think, as I understand correctly, he's got engaged to a young sister from Poland, and if my timeline is right, he should by now be married unless something happened. They invited me to the wedding, and so I knew about it. And he's been in Krakow and in Poland, and he's circulating deeply among the brethren there. But the reason I bring this up is because Brother Ochola also did quite a bit of activity in Kenya, and he started a class in Nairobi. And then he had to leave, and there were two sisters there that were kind of the core of the class and some brothers leading it. The class broke up and dissolved, some years ago. And these two sisters didn't quite know what to do. I've testified about this before, but maybe it just connects some threads here. And Sister Gloria there emailed me at the time and says, "You know, have we been deceived? Is this really the truth?" I said, "Oh, no, it is the truth." And so they continued on, and finally they were able to gather some friends in a park and start an ecclesia. And finally, about 6 months down the road, one of the brethren attending the ecclesia was well enough studied, so they made him the leader, and things were prospering. The class got up to about 50 or 60 or so. Then the class split because of some difficulties, and we now had two classes there, both of them about 70 or 80 people, and it was just growing real good. Sister Gloria became very, very zealous, and she arranged for public meetings. I think in this last September, she had arranged for 5 public meetings in Nairobi where Christian groups wanted to hear the truth, and she had arranged speakers and so forth. About 1,000 people expected at each one of those. And then we got the news that she was one of the victims of the Nairobi Mall massacre. And as somebody had asked me, I think it was Robin had asked me, you know, any of the brethren involved? I said, well, the chances are very remote. And so when the news came to me some weeks later, I was quite impacted. I heard later that the attackers would go through the mall and they would accost people and find out whether they're Islamic or Christian. And they had specific questions that they would ask, that if you were Islam and had been in it for some time, you would know the answers. But if you're Christian, you might not. So, we don't really know the circumstances of her last time exactly. I've tried to get in touch with her business associate with whom she was at the mall, who survived, but Gloria did not. And I haven't been able to make contact with that person, but it's through that person that we receive the news. So meanwhile, the other person who led the class in Nairobi had branched out to another class. His wife died of a child miscarriage, and so he moved back to his hometown, and he was kind of out of commission for a while too. A lot of tragedies have occurred. There was another death in the same class, all that from Nairobi, the same area. Well, I was pleased just before this convention to hear from him, Brother John Manyala, who was also very active, but kind of out of commission after he lost his wife. And out of the blue, I got an email. He's in the city of Wajir now in Kenya. And he says, please send me 1,000 seminar brochures. We have an upcoming seminar for 1,500 people. Wow. And so I was thrilled that he was back in the saddle, as it were. And he wants to go back to Nairobi and see how the classes are doing and kind of get back in touch. So a lot of activity, a lot of zeal, a lot of earnestness, a lot of trials, a lot of tribulations. One other sister from that class who I never knew about died in a road accident, her and her husband on the highway. And her sister I contacted to give some words of sympathy. And her sister said, and remember, this is a person who died that I never knew. Just I knew she was in the class. And her sister said, my sister always told me, you should be a Bible student. And I thought, well, she's letting her light shine. And so for the memorial service, we sent some materials. And so since then, she found an opportunity for her church to be opened up and have a witness of the truth. And she's, now they're all studying the truth in the church. So it seems like from the tragedy, spring some blossoms and some flowers and some new life. So we're very thankful. You know, we're doing this activity following up from my father at a distance. We don't know all the people involved. We know some of them. And but the Lord is working in doing his own job. And how often? That I mentioned to Sister Ruth that we're glad the person is in charge, knows exactly how to manage his work best.
Thank you, Brother David, for the touching testimony. We just recently had a topical study in our class within the last couple of weeks on the subject of healing, and it was suggested by Brother Tom and Sister Kathleen Moore, who join us by telephone from Laramie, Wyoming area. And one of the questions happened to be with on this topic of, well, gave the example of brethren being killed on their way home from a convention. How can that be? And so we discussed that in our meeting, and then hearing Brother David, those things are naturally shocking, and we grieve as our Lord wept. But as David said, we know who's in charge, and we know that he sees the big picture. Brother Brad.
Brother Brad Bach from San Diego class here. And I got a touch of a cold, so I wanted to make an announcement that I did use hand sanitizer before I took a hold of the microphone for anybody who's thinking about testifying afterwards. I just wanted to mention two things. The first thing is I was on a phone call with Brother Jim Shucker, who probably many of you know, just the other day. And Brother Jim went and spent his one and only meeting in a Jehovah's Witness Kingdom Hall recently. And what he told me was something that I felt was really interesting and thought I'd just share it. And he said that that one and only meeting that he went to, that there was an announcement, a very specific announcement was being made at the Kingdom Hall to all the people there, that the society no longer believes that the Lord has returned, but that it is a future date now with a future man of sin. This is secondhand information that I'm giving you. I heard it from Jim, but I thought it was really fascinating, and we have some contact with some former Jehovah's Witnesses, and I thought, well, this would be interesting just to see how they respond, and I thought it was a newsworthy event. the other thing I wanted to mention was we are having a new and interesting experience. We have contacted Fresh Start. Fresh Start is an organization that brings kids from Mexico, sometimes even locally, overseas, as far away as Africa, and they bring them here to do surgeries. You know, you've probably seen ships that are off the coast, and they'll do surgeries on people that have very extensive health problems. Well, some of them are so extensive that they have to bring them back here. So we contacted them and wanted to find out what we could do, if there was anything that was, you know, an opportunity for us. So they said that you can do housing. You can do housing. So this is the first time that we've done it. And I don't know if we'll do it again or not, but it's a very interesting experience. And the boy that's at our house is, he doesn't speak English, but he had a cleft palate, a really severely deformed cleft palate. They did surgery on it, and it really turned out well. And the surgery looks much better. As we've gotten to know him, he's really a sweet little boy. 6 years old. And here's one lesson that I just wanted to share, a takeaway for me. Now, they're going to be with us for a couple more weeks, so we'll probably get more lessons. But one of the lessons that I'm taking away from it is that, you know, if I have some challenging thing that I'm facing or something that's causing me anxiety or nervousness or worry, all I got to do is think of this six-year-old boy who came over here without his family, without his mother, without his father, left his family behind. The family were warned They're in a very remote village, by the way, from Malawi. The family were warned from neighbors, if you let him go, they'll sell him into slavery. Don't let him go to the United States. This is kind of a trick. So they had to overcome these fears. But more, I look at the six-year-old boy and say they brought him here. They took him into a place that was foreign and scary, and they did surgery on him and opened up his face, sewed his lips shut. His whole mouth was sewn shut so that he had to drink through liquids only for a week. So anything that I have to face, I'm going to use him as a support, as a moral support. Look what he went through, and just say this minimizes it. It shrinks my anything that I could go through. It's good to see everybody, and I ask an interest in your prayers. And we're certainly happy that you were able to join us in the convention.
Oh, thank you, Brother Brad. I saw the little boy last night in dinner hall, but didn't know the history, so thanks for sharing that. And the scripture that comes to my mind is, do good unto all men, especially the household of faith. And mentioning Brother Jim Shucker, that I appreciate that. Sandy and I were just talking this morning about coming to San Diego over the years and the many blessings we've had, but also starting to think about the brethren that used to be here who aren't here, mostly because they've gone to their reward. So thank you for sharing that. Brother Leon.
Dear brethren, I'm thankful to the Lord that I'm able to be here. And the experiences that I've had the last 6 months or so is heart-wrenching. But we're thankful to the Lord that the Lord's given me strength and courage to overcome, sort of. And we're looking forward to the day when we'll be face to face with our Lord. We're thankful to the Lord for the promises, the scriptures, all things work together for good to them that love God. And it's by the Lord's grace that I'm able to be here, that my grandson Seth is here, and it's because of him that I'm able to be here today. And also, I thank the Lord for the strength and the courage and an understanding and appreciation of the plan of the ages. The fact that we are living in the times of restitution, the blessing of all families of the earth is being prepared, and we see the preparations of that taking place left and right. And I've had an opportunity talking with my grandchildren and pointing out, did Brother Russell have running water when he first started? No. Did he have electric lights? No. This all came in after the first volume was Tabernacle Shadows were written. And look at the conveniences that we have left and right all about us, all in preparation for the mediatorial reign. I thank the Lord for enlightening my heart and mind to appreciate this. And I ask an interest in your prayers that I may continue.
Thank you, Brother Leon. You've certainly been in our thoughts and prayers over these last several months. And will continue to be so. Okay, our time is going quickly. It's 3:43, so if you plan to testify, this is a good time to do so. Brother Jim, I haven't heard a fair report. I don't know. We've had some good reports already. How about a fair report?
I guess that qualifies. Very good. but we certainly have had a good time at the L.A. County Fair. It lasts for a month, and the first 3 weeks this year were very hot, in the 90s, except for the second week, which was in the hundreds, and the booklet distribution was considerably diminished during this period of time, just as the overall attendance was. The big surprise is that in the last 2.5 days, we distributed about a quarter of our total number of books, and actually at 6,300 or so booklets and DVDs, it's slightly more than we've done the past few years. But the usual booklets that are at the top of the list were again this year, How God Answers Prayer and How to Study the Bible and Have It Make Sense. That was the, sometimes it's in the reverse order. But with the hot weather, one of the surprises was that the truth about hell went way up, and I don't know if it was related to the weather or not. But there, in our way of doing things, which may or may not be the best way, we had 45 booklets in English distributed across the table here, and a dozen of the Spanish booklets, and a few more English booklets within easy enough reach, and others that they could see and ask for. And there were over 20 different titles that each had over 100 booklets taken during the course of the fair, which just goes to show that there is a great breadth of interest among the public. And you could understand the interest in topics like life after death, hope beyond the grave. But some of the surprising ones was like the booklet on Daniel, Zechariah, and Revelation. It had way over 100, too. And you'd kind of tend to think that's more of a specialty booklet. But people come to the fair, and they have questions. Some of them are a little bit hostile, a number are leery, and you'll always get people who come up and say, do you believe in the Trinity? And I will say, I believe in God, but I do not believe that he is a Trinity. Some of the reactions are, well, if you don't believe in the Trinity, you can't be a Christian. And I said, well, let's see, where in the Bible does it say that that is one of the essentials? And of course, most of them know as soon as you get at that point saying essential, that the Bible says so, they know they're beat. And some will listen. And so going through the requirements to be a Christian, 1 John has all three of them about the requirements concerning Jesus Christ, that he is the Messiah, the Christ, or he is come in the flesh, or whosoever confesseth that Jesus is the Son of God, God is in him and he is in God. And I believe that Jesus is a Son of God. So at least half of those who have come to the fair this year to me have offered to shake my hand or otherwise consider me a Christian as they departed. And I've been grateful for that. And of course, there are those who come up and say, are you Jehovah's Witnesses? And I'll say, no, but if you'd like something to give to one, I recommend the Light of the World. So we really have had a good relationship with the other people in the booths round about us. And a lot of, they have the Christadelphians, and they are on good terms with us. And the fellow from the WCTU booth, David Rice is very distantly related to him. Paul Scott is his name. He will come over and offer to watch the booth while we go to the restroom or grab a bite to eat. So it's remarkable how much goodwill there is among people. And some of them will come up and say, we thank you for doing this for all of us. So we want to spread the goodwill and the good message at the same time. And we're grateful to the Lord that we've been able to do it for 49 years so far.
And it ran essentially the month of September?
Yes, technically it was August August 30th through September 29th. So next year it will be August 29th through September 28th, with Tuesdays off and most of the Mondays off, not Labor Day. That's a good distribution day. So whatever we can do, I'm sure most of us feel that we've done more in 1 month for public witness than we do in the whole 11 months other than combined. So, and many people have come back and saying, I took 3 or 4 booklets here. One fellow said, I took some of these booklets last week, and they say some things that I've never heard before. And he says, now I want this one, this one, and this one.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate the effort of Jim and the other brethren who participate in this event. What Jim was saying about Trinity made me think in our morning devotions, Sandy and Hunter and I, we read the manna and we read the children's manna and some other devotionals. And every once in a while, Hunter will stop and say, is that right? And sometimes it's the subject of the Trinity, and so we'll, I've asked Hunter a couple of times, are you and your father the same person?
No.
As well, the Bible says, Jesus said, my father is greater than I. So I think he's got that concept. So far he hasn't been challenged, but who knows, that could happen. Okay, our time is running out, 3:51. Anyone else? Testimony, Sean?
Very quickly, Brother Tim, Brother Sean Humphreys from the Southwest Bible Students Ecclesia in Phoenix, Arizona. Happy to be here with my wife, Melanie, and our little daughter, Caitlin, my mom and dad, Christy and Kent. And I also, Melanie's not in the meeting right now. We'd like to bring her parents, love, John and Magdalena Hosu from Baia Mare, Romania. And I've really enjoyed the thoughts today and being amongst those dear family members in the household of faith. It's a blessing to be with each one of you. And may the Heavenly Father continue to be with each one of you.
Thank you, Sean. Good to see the Humphreys, and they were former members of the Albuquerque class, so we feel very close to them, as I'm sure others do. Okay, anyone else before our time elapses? Probably one more. If not, well, no. Well, good, Brother Mark.
Well, good afternoon, dear brethren. Brother Mark Davis from the Los Angeles Ecclesia. Also want to bring you the love from our class, from the brethren that are not able to attend, but we're glad that we can be here at convention. I was just going to follow up one thing that Brother Jim said about the fair. You know, he doesn't realize the effect that he's had on a lot of those that have come out to the fair too, and the witnesses he's given. We've had some very hard chargers come out to the fair too. And from this, from the Baptist mainstream Christian movement, some of these are their pastors. They come out, try to confront, and see what they can do to try to put a wrench into your beliefs. And what I was this last year at the convention, what I noticed, I thought was very interesting, when they come up with 3 or 4 to the booth, and one would be trying to talk to Jim, or a couple would be trying to talk to Jim, taking him off on something that Pastor Russell and his viewpoints were on something, one of the other gentlemen would come up to say, you know, he is quite a professor, speaking of Jim. And they saw how well-versed he was in Scripture and how he could hold his own with the truth. And I appreciated so much having Jim there with me when we had a chance to witness to these brethren, because they're trying to subvert your viewpoints on many things, but it's quite an opportunity to witness. I would just say one more thing, and that's nothing to do with this convention, but if you're interested in going to an international convention next year, it's in August, from the 6th to the 10th of August next year. make your reservations early. You've all know Sister Sherelle Hagensick from Chicago. She's the one you can email and talk to her. She can arrange for accommodations. So I would talk to her. She has all the particular information. It's in a town called Stierk, which is just a little bit 2 hours south of Krakow. And it's going to be quite a convention this year. I think a lot of American brethren are going to come because they have roots, they have Polish roots, and I think they want to go home and see some of those roots. So we hope you can join us if it's something that might work out for you. And we're just thankful that we can be here at convention with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Mark. I'm just thinking of the first international convention in 1982 in Kufstein, and that's where I met Darius for the first time, and that was before he came to the United States. And so we certainly have some wonderful memories of international conventions. Okay, thank you, brethren. I think that's it. Thank you for those who participated and for those unspoken testimonies. The Lord knows our thoughts and our intents. Thank you, and the Lord bless all of you.
Thank you, Brother Tim, for leading our testimony meeting. Also, another message, love from Sister Elaine Redeker. And I was thinking that if you were to say to somebody that Brother Jim Parkinson gave a good fair report, might be a little confusing, but where the comma goes or whatever. So we'll close with hymn number 340, Count Your Many Blessings, Count Your Blessings. And by the way, it's 340 in the blue book and Appendix J in the red book, if that's what you have. And once again, since we're singing just the last two verses, why don't we all stand and stand for those now. And we only have a 15-minute intermission, and then we're on to our 10-minute lessons service. So we're looking forward to that. So please stay close at hand. So verses 3 and 4.
Father in heaven, we're thankful for our many blessings. Help us not to lose sight of those. Help us to be mindful of our brethren around the world, and especially those undergoing difficult times, such as our brethren in the Philippines and in Africa and other places. perhaps unknown to us. May thy grace be sufficient. And may we do what's in our power to be a blessing and a help to others as we walk in the footsteps of our Lord. Forgive us for anything said amiss. We pray thy Spirit rests upon each heart and mind gathered here, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.